Welcome back, nerds and nerdettes, to another exciting episode of Nerd Management with your hosts, Alec Ward and Warner Slopes, and our special guest today with us.
Hi, I'm Justin.
Fellow comic book nerd. So, let's dive right in with our favorite comic books of the week. Which, Alec, what was your favorite book this week?
I don't think it's any surprise to any actual comic book reader, but Trillium by Jeff Lemire was... I mean, this is what he left Justice League Dark for, pretty much.
Oh, yeah, essentially. Pretty much. So he could have some more time for this book.
It was absolutely and totally worth it. I think it was just a really, really cool concept.
I love Jeff Lemire's superhero stuff. Don't get me wrong. But his creator-owned stuff is vastly superior. And that's not saying anything bad about his superhero stuff. It's just his creator-owned stuff is so good.
You look at Sweet Tooth. Sweet Tooth is one of my favorite things of all time.
I just hope he makes $1 trillion on it.
Somebody already made that joke. Somebody already made that joke a few weeks ago when we were talking about.
I think we $1 trillion.
Yeah, because we were talking about how we weren't going to read it in issues, we were going to trade weight, and then both of us
were like, you know what?
Panicked, and we're like, no, got to get it.
We got
to
get it.
Got to get it now.
I don't. I just like. I like the fact that one first half of it is is one way, and then the moment where they meet is where the second half of the book ends.
I really like the flip book style of reading, which you're not going to get that in the trade. It just won't work.
No.
So I'm not sure how they'll do the trade. I'm definitely going to get it, obviously, because I own all of his stuff. But I'm a huge fan of all of his stuff from, you know, Essex County is great, one of his early works.
It's a Bible.
It's very thick. But it's so good, and it hurts you in your feels.
Right.
But you know what really tugged on my heartstrings is he did Underwater Welder.
Yeah, I want to read that really bad.
You should borrow it. It's great. But it had more of an impact on me than I think it would just like a normal guy because... Because
you're an underwater welder.
Because I could relate so much to my underwater
welder. Two favorite
welder.
Pastimes are scuba diving and welding.
It's about a guy that's like sort of worried to like because he's about to have his first child and stuff. And it was right when Jude was born. I was reading it, and I was just like, man, steaming all over the place.
Way to get serious.
It does. The book is so good, and it has its moments of humor, like anything Jeff Lemire does. But it was so deep and really tugged at your heartstrings that it went up there with one of my favorite things. And of course, he did The Nobody, which is basically his take on The Invisible Man. Everything he writes, though, mostly takes place in Canada, which is where he lives. And I swear that Canada must just be the most depressing place to live ever, because all of his books that are creator-owned are just, like, super, like, downer. And also, he doesn't put a lot of color into them. They're mostly just gray and dark blue.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that maybe Canada is just gray and dark blue.
Well, they've got, like, diet French people there.
I was going to say, when your country... is owned basically by the French. I mean, you know.
It makes me sad for him that, this is his life.
Oh, zit.
I get to live in America, and then I get to read about Canada in these comics and go, man, what a bummer. Glad I don't live there.
Yeah.
Hey. Sorry if you're any of our international Canadian friends,
Tell me
we feel bad
it.
For you.
I don't know.
Tell me about it.
Tell me about it, eh? He's able to do such weird things, and he's just a weird guy. Sweet Tooth's kind of a weird book. Trillium's a weird
already
book.
Starting to be really weird. Not what I expected.
But he does it so well.
Yeah,
I love it,
and I'm excited for the next issue already.
And I like that it's just a 6-issue story arc. You know, perfect size for a trade if you wanted to do that. But I don't think it's going to work as well.
Yeah,
no way that they're going to be able to. You know, every 2 issues is going to be turning it upside down, so...
No. That would be complicated. There's not a good way to read it in collected edition, but that's... He had said in an interview...
Or digital.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of swiping.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. He said in an interview...
He's just trying to turn it... It's
like the accelerometer keeps fixing it.
Your iPad is a steering wheel at that point. Always turning right. I feel like he... is always trying to break ground with this format and stuff. And it's just really interesting. And his art style is so different. There are people that don't like his art style, but I really love it. And I don't know. He just... I will read anything he does. I don't read Green Arrow right now, just because I'm not a huge Green Arrow fan.
It's not terrible. It's honestly, it's okay. It's pretty good.
But I've read everything else that he's... I take that back. I haven't read Lost Dogs yet, which was his first thing.
Yeah.
But I guess he self-published, and then once he got big, somebody was like, we'll publish this for you. And so it exists now as like an actual published work. But I haven't read that. But other than that, I think...
I mean, Animal Man is...
His Animal Man is awesome.
It's fantastic.
But again, it's like his superhero stuff is so different than his creator-owned stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard to compare them because they're two different things.
Yeah.
Drastically, but neither one of them is bad. Both of them are great, so it's pretty awesome to see.
Yeah.
And
then, of course, surprise, surprise.
I know. I hate to really be like this with you guys, but it's Charles Soule's fault for writing Swamp Thing so well. My book of the week, of course, is Swamp Thing. Just an excellent issue.
It's almost like wincing to
right.
Swamp.
I'm really sorry, but I love it.
I feel bad because I feel like such a fanboy, but I literally do love Swamp Thing that much, and not just like the character. The book right now is so
good. I make fun of you because I can and I love you, but it's great. It really is. It's fantastic. If Trilling wasn't my favorite book of the week, it was going to be that.
Yeah, and it just.
So.
The whole Whiskey Tree thing and the short story arcs, I've said since he started, the short story arcs are the way to go.
Yeah.
And he even did something to kind of make it feel a little bit more long form with bringing back Capucine back in the end of the book.
Oh, yeah,
where you're like, oh, we haven't seen her for a couple issues. And then the whole thing with the cedar leaving him that message that said it's, what did he say? It's time. It said it's time, Professor. So he obviously knows that he's Alec Holland.
Is that weird that I couldn't read what that said?
It was very difficult to read. I had to look at it really closely.
Okay.
But, so whoever it is knows who he is.
Okay.
So that's interesting because I was really not thinking
Well, did you see that the next issue is going to be 23.1 and it's titled Whatever Happened to Arcane?
Right, it's the Arcane issue.
So do you think it's maybe...
For Forever Evil.
An unmanned, or an unmanned something? I mean...
It could be. I don't
or
think that's the way they're going.
Or unmanned, whatever they call them.
They are the unmanned, but I suppose if you had just one, it would be an unmanned. They really are keeping that mystery going, and I like that. I really like that. But I still don't know who it is, but he obviously knows who Swamp Thing is.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, because Swamp Thing has been so many things and not even really people so many times that it's interesting that a character in the universe actually knows like who he is and who he was, and that's kind of going to be a cool thing.
Is it weird that I call her Capuchin, like the monkey? The breed of monkey?
I honestly don't know how you pronounce it, I think that's it.
That's the beauty of reading. You pronounce it however you want.
Like, I called Hermione Hermione for like the first like three books. Like,
that's how it's written.
Exactly.
British words are weird, man. Have you seen how they spell check?
No. How do they spell check?
Like a check that you write for your bills or whatever. They spell it Chequue. I'm not kidding you. This is real. Look it up.
Chequa.
It's just, that's not.
Don't they also spell color differently?
Yeah, it's like
Allure. They put the O-U-R, but I kind of fancy that a little bit.
Yeah.
I think we got a little lazy when we cut that U.
So did the Foo Fighters album, The Shape of Color, that's what it did for you? Because that's what it did for me.
Foo Fighters does a lot for people. They help.
Hey, is someone getting the best of you?
That came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting that. I guess we can just move right into.
Well, did you have a man book or?
Let me just say, and I feel so bad because this was my man book a few months ago.
Yeah,
Green Lantern is just letting me down all over the place, and it's because Geoff Johns' Green Lantern was so good that this just can't hold up. It's not bad, but I just don't think I care.
Yeah.
It's so.
I just don't.
Like right now, Hal Jordan isn't just being the boss of Oa, and that's not that interesting of a story to me. I thought it was going to be, but I really think I missed the stuff with his like interaction with people on Earth.
Because he was a pilot there,
right?
Like he was a hotshot. Now he's a businessman with a suitcase that glows green. It's boring.
Yeah. What if he did? Like, what if that was what he did? He just
now, if his Green Lantern suit was a business suit.
And it, It really focuses
in the world is right. business.
The logo is the only logo he has is he has a Green Lantern logo tie clip.
Yeah, like a little tie pin.
You can't even tell he's Green Lantern. Just like, why does that guy have a green glowing?
So I guess if like,
that actually sounds more interesting than the book I read today.
Fair enough.
Basically, it's Green Lantern Core. But I don't want to read Green Lantern Core. I want to read Green Lantern.
Right.
I want to read about Hal Jordan. And this is just all of the core, which is fine, but it's also just like the business side of the core that I don't really care about.
Yeah.
They're trying to introduce too many new characters when Green Lantern already has a lot of great new characters.
Yeah, look at that shelf you got over there. There's plenty
right?
to choose from.
There's
right.
so many Green Lantern characters.
Which if you guys have seen my vines, then you've seen Warner's shelf.
Right.
Now I'm going to have to make a custom relic figure.
Just get like an Invisible Man figure and just like kind of frost it up a little bit.
Or you could just clear a space and put a, like a just like a little tag that says Invisible Man. Done. Just get yourself a Dynamo.
But anyway, what was your meh book of the week?
Well, my meh book of the week it always sounds so weird when I say that.
Me.
And I don't want to say this because I really like Dan Slott, and I really like Superior Spider-Man.
And I want Dan Slott to like us.
I do too.
He seems like the kind of guy that might actually at some point listen to our podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want him to feel like we're hating on him.
Yeah.
Dan Slott, we love you.
We love you very much.
You're the slottiest. You're the most adorable Dan
Slott. What slot? She was
good. Yeah. We're almost back to insults now.
No, we do love you. Anyway,
But I didn't really care for this this issue. I didn't really care for 14 either, the last issue, so it's kind of piggybacking off of that.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, I think last episode that we recorded, when you're coming out with a book that comes out every 2 weeks, like,
right,
it's kind of crappy.
But you know what? I actually felt better about 14 when I read 15, because 15, I'm going to say, was not a meh book for me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But like you said, you haven't been reading Spider-Man.
Right. I'll just preface it by saying I'm very new to Spider-Man.
There was so much going on, and it was awesome. Like there's this whole thing where.
So wait, he was bit by a radioactive spider?
Well, it depends. Yes.
Are we going movie continuity? Because also
right.
yes.
Right.
No, but anyway.
All of them actually.
So,
they didn't miss any
answers.
For those that don't know, Otto Octavius has switched brains with Peter Parker, and now Peter Parker's body is Otto Octavius, so Otto Octavius is now Spider-Man, and he is trying to be better than Peter Parker was.
I will say, I do like that the lady officer, I can never remember her name.
Carly,
thank you, is starting to notice. Yeah, this dude's not...
Well, everyone, this issue, everyone was, and that's what I really liked is... Mary Jane mentioned it. She's like, he would normally come check on me after my club burned down.
Yeah, I did enjoy that whole like page where it showed, you know, Aunt May, Mary Jane, his
newest
Horizon, newest girlfriend, the smaller lady, and then the her almost left, but the Horizon Labs.
Everyone's reaction was
yeah, I do.
And then the big spoiler for the end of the book was what I really liked is that this Spider-Man just doesn't give a crap, and that's what I like so much is he's just like, you know, there was the whole thing where we talked about this when Spider-Man was our favorite book of the week.
Yeah,
was the issue when he killed Alistair Smythe, and Alistair Smythe is like, I'm going to trick you. I have a plan. I'm going to switch brains with you right before I die.
Bro.
And then,
bro.
Yeah, the Spider-Man's like, I already did it. I'm Dr. Octopus, so... And then he's like, what? And he's like, I outsmarted you. Dead. And that was awesome.
Yeah.
And then that same kind of thing happened here where Ben Urich's son, Philip Urich, has been Hobgoblin for a long time now. And Spider-Man took like 5 seconds. He's like, I need to really mess up Hobgoblin's life. Took 5 seconds and found out who he was.
Yeah.
And then broadcast it to all of New York. He said, I need you to help me find Hobgoblin. Also, his name's Philip York, and here he is.
Yeah.
And now everyone's seen that.
Yeah.
And that's awesome that he's just like, he just doesn't care.
Yeah. And I'm really excited to see who the Goblin is, the Green Guy and the Goblin King or whatever. I'm really excited for
that. Right. I feel like it's probably Norman, but there's no guarantee of that. Also, who he's working with, I think, is the original Hobgoblin, Kingsley, who has kind of been given the new Hobgoblin a hard time and like bullying him for lunch money.
He's almost doing like a Hobgoblin Incorporated.
Yeah,
he's like, runs it out.
He's like, you can be Hobgoblin, but you owe me money.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
And so now I think he might be working with whoever the Green Goblin is now, or at least it seemed the shadowy figure looked like him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm thinking that might be, and man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I do want to say an honorable mention, and I know you don't read Hickman's Avengers. Do you even like Hickman as a writer, or?
He's hit or miss for me. I love The Red Line. It's just a one and done graphic novel he did.
Mm-hmm.
It's about time travel. It's very confusing, but it's so good.
Yeah.
And then I tried to get into Manhattan Projects, and I couldn't get into it. And everyone loves it.
Yeah, I've heard it's really good.
I think it's just a slow burn, maybe.
And I will say East of West is great.
I haven't read that either.
Yeah, it's good.
Wait
for the trade.
But I loved his Fantastic Four. It was one of the best. And actually, my favorite issue of Fantastic Four in years was one that he did where Franklin Richards takes place far in the future, and Franklin Richards is like a superhero. And the only one of the Fantastic Four that's still alive is Ben Grimm, because he ages differently because of his his mutation or whatever. And so he had this old, gristled Ben Grimm who had like a rock beard. And he lived for like 500, 600 years. And Franklin is infinite, because eventually, according to Hickman's run, and this is awesome, Franklin befriends Galactus, and Galactus becomes Franklin's herald. Like, Franklin is so powerful that Galactus works for him.
So does he just inherit all of the powers? Or?
He's just Franklin Richards in continuity, and this has been for years, I don't even remember.
Yeah, see,
maybe Mark Waid came up with it. It may have been even before Mark Waid's run, which is also great. But at some point, someone established that Franklin Richards is the most powerful mutant in the entire universe. But he's just so young that he doesn't know it yet. And so Reed is always trying to, like, not dumb him down, but keep him from using his powers, because he knows that there's no way they can control him. And so basically,
kind of like Xavier and Phoenix style,
sort of.
Basically,
yeah.
So this future story, you should read the issue. I'll just dig it out of my big Fantastic Four box over there. But there's an issue, and it's just, you don't need anything else. Just this issue that's just like really heartfelt, and it's the thing teaming up with Franklin, and it goes all the way to where the thing finally dies. Like 600-700 years old, and then Franklin being like, well, now I'm all alone, because that was the last person. And it's just really, it's a touching story, and it's well written, and it has some of the best thing moments. And obviously, you guys know that I'm a big Ben Grimm fan, so there was some stuff in there that just like made me love that character more.
Did you cry?
Along with
this
rock beard, does this thingy erode over time?
I don't know. That's a Kevin Smith podcast kind of question.
That's totally
no, but that's a good issue, and that Hickman was really good when he was writing it, and I like Hickman, but I just, some of his stuff gets too deep. Fantastic Four,
yeah.
I know enough of the history that I was fine.
Yeah.
But Avengers is so broad that I can't keep
there's so many Avengers. There's literally only four Fantastic Four.
Right.
Five, if you want to include Spider-Man, that gets added.
And She-Hulk has been in it. There's people that have filled in, but essentially, there's not a huge...
It's still the main four. Yeah.
There's not a huge daunting continuity of Fantastic Four. It is what it is, so it's easy to follow along, whereas Avengers is so much.
Yeah, it's like Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just at some point, like, who's that guy?
That's actually a really good analogy for Hickman's run on Avengers, is that he brings in just all of these people. And, you know, for the past, I don't know, like 2.5 months, he's been doing this whole setup to Infinity, which I'm excited for. I know you're not really, but...
I don't know if...
I'm a big Thanos guy, so I think once you read Infinity Gauntlet, I think you would be. But anyway... And so, you know, they've been doing this prelude to Infinity, you know, every issue for the past, like, 2.5 months. And at the end of this issue, you know, the big team's assembled, and it just says, end of prelude. And that just signifies that the next issue is this big... it was a cool thing, and I think it was worth mentioning. And I don't think we talk about that very much, so, you know, shut up.
No, I'm fine. I'm listening. I'm interested.
Quit nodding.
I'm interested.
It's definitely good, though.
So that gets us through Books of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
Should we now talk about our Moment of Glory?
Moment of Glory!
Okay. So I think this week's moment of glory goes to Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Again.
Yep. Yep.
Or at least for me, you can have your own if you want.
You know,
my moment of glory for me was when Swamp Thing, like in the Whiskey Tree, he's been mutilated and torn apart.
Okay.
Literally torn to shreds. Swamp Thing, right?
Yeah.
He's in this prison cell.
Yeah.
Just his head and some pieces.
I do like that his bones are sticks. I thought that was cool. I don't know.
Yeah.
Instead of actually being bones, it's like
sticks.
All marsh
just
based
a twig.
And so Swamp
his
Thing's,
eyeballs are marshmallows.
So Swamp Thing's weak and he's defeated, and Constantine's brainwashed, and all the town is brainwashed. And it's back to that horror element. If you want to know more about Swamp Thing, if I don't talk about it enough,
yeah.
I did do a review this week for Fanboy Factor, who is now. Big announcement, Fanboy Factor is going to be hosting our podcast from now on.
That's right.
Special thanks Woo! To them, and check them out. But anyway, you can check out my review for Swamp Thing on there, but just a brief breakdown. Swamp Thing gets out, he's really weak, and he's stumbling around on like bony branch things, not sure what he's going to do, and he's about on the brink of death, and he's like, I need one thing that I can do that'll bring my strength back. And he basically turns this whole field in Scotland, where the Whiskey Tree is, into poppies, and just like in The Wizard of Oz, everyone just starts falling asleep.
Yeah.
And then Swamp Thing's like, done, game over.
Yeah,
just
wipes his hands, wipes off his branchy hands.
Right.
And then he's huge because he got all his green powers back, so he's just like laying, giant Swamp Thing laying in this giant field of poppies and
eating
Scotland,
poppy sea bagels.
Yeah. And then he goes back home, and then there's a message for him from the cedar.
Yeah.
And that's it. But
yeah, it was cool.
But the big moment is Swamp Thing. I love when Swamp Thing gets to that brink of just he's got nothing else left, and he just pushes a little harder and finds like the tiniest little thing that he can grab onto, and then that's what he turns into a weapon. And that's
and
what
this
I love
week
about
was
Swamp Thing.
Flowers.
Yeah, and there's a famous issue of Hellblazer, and I don't remember which one it is, but where Swamp Thing actually uses the tobacco in Constantine's cigarette to show up at Constantine's house.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I love when he does that kind of stuff, and that was what the poppy moment was for me. He like grabbed onto this tiny little poppy seed and created a field of poppy flowers and passed everybody out. So, good job, Swamp Thing.
Yay.
We're proud of you.
While that moment was very glorious for me, the moment where the first half of Trillium ends, and where it meets, and just the fact that I'm like, okay, that was my personal moment of glory.
Agreed.
I thought it was a very good one. So, but yeah,
I'm eager to see where it goes from here because now they've met.
Right.
So how did the story cross? I don't know.
It's
so exciting.
I don't know.
I really like.
It's really exciting.
Another.
I wish I would have read it. I'm sorry, guys.
Another moment into that issue was when the guy from the beginning of the girl story in the 3000s
was that
37 whatever
right
is found in the 1920s at that village like staked up and I was like what
it was so
the time travel aspect is so awesome in this
well thing. And the fact that like and just how they do it is just so it's very, very
exasperated.
As you said before, it's
it's.
We don't even know how you just wipe the sweat from your brow.
Just
so exhausted from your excitement.
It was just I don't know. It was
my. It's just like giving me the vipers.
Oh, jam.
Great moment.
Yeah, no, it just, I don't know. It was one of the more promising. First issues come and go, and you know, create their own stories. They come and go. Also, you know, that's basically all that Image is. But you know, for this one to actually stand out to me, I think it, you know, it sets. And like we said, we love Jeff Lemire, so it's kind of, you know.
Yeah, it was a great moment.
Yeah, yeah, good, yeah.
Getting to know you.
So this time we're getting to know the Crises trilogy. And basically what that is DC had a series of crossover events that started as just one crossover event to clean up their continuity in the 80s when everything was messy and they had too many universes.
Clean up their continuity.
Right,
right, which has made it way more complicated, actually. But that's called Crisis on Infinite Earths. And people are... I mean, this is just a comic book people are familiar with.
Just the only one of the trilogy that I've actually read.
So, it basically, there's all... They find out that there's all these universes, and they're like, we need to save these people from this threat that's come to destroy all these universes. The Anti-Monitor. And what happens is they all team together with their alternate universe counterparts, and many, many, many of them die. The Earth 2 Robin dies. The Earth 2 Batman dies.
The big ones, I mean.
Supergirl dies. Yeah, and then, of course, the Flash dies. Yeah, Barry
right,
Allen dies at this.
That was an epic.
And this,
yeah,
and,
was great.
And remember that moment, because that's what ties it into the trilogy aspect of the future crises.
And in the final.
And what it's basically come down to is a lot of people consider the Crisis trilogy to be sort of like a... in some way a Flash trilogy, because it's so important for each of the Flashes as it goes on, but we'll get into that a little bit more. But so all these people die, and then DC's continuity is cleaned up into this nice clean, there's only one universe now, and some of the people survived, like Huntress is the Robin from Earth 2,
right?
And or no, one of the other Earths, I can't remember, but
yeah,
she's Batman and Catwoman's daughter from a different universe, and she's
yeah,
come to live in our universe because she's the only one left. So
that would be Earth 2 then.
So maybe I can't remember what Robin died, but there was a Robin that died.
Yeah.
Well. But anyway, Robins are always dying all over the place.
I know. Everyone loves to kill the bird, man.
But anyway, to kill a Robin by
that
Greg Peck was in the movie. I know,
right?
But,
yeah. But
Atticus Finch.
Yeah, by
Atticus.
To Kill a Robin by Boo Radley.
But
yeah, I think that's probably... We sound like such idiots because we can't remember this.
We
should have
said, like, because
Carl
we were forced
Stein
to read that book in school.
It's a good book, though.
It is, but when you're forced to read it, who cares about the author?
But we digress
yeah,
so drastically.
By
anyway,
R. L.
so... by R.L. Stein. That would be a twist, an R.L. Steinian twist. Anyway, the...
Turn
the
page.
Choose
your scan.
Readers beware.
Yes!
Readers are scared. But it, so anyway.
Children of the night.
So the book comes back around to now there's one universe.
Right.
Thank you, DC, for finally cleaning that up. But at some point, someone decided that they needed darker heroes. And so we get Identity Crisis, which is not necessarily in the Crisis trilogy, but it definitely leads into what becomes Infinite Crisis. In Identity Crisis, the Justice League is faced with an Identity Crisis when they realize that Batman and Zatanna, behind their backs, wiped everyone's memory of them doing something bad to a villain.
Douche.
And they're like, why did you do that? Because they had... First, Zatanna wiped Dr. Light's mind because he had done some terrible things, and they're like, we want him just to be a silly villain. And that's how they explain it, because for a while Dr. Light was creepy, and then he became super goofy, and they were like, people wrote him poorly as
well.
Really
right,
happened.
And then the Crisis on Infinite Earths, it's a little Asian woman. I mean, it's kind of...
She's the hero version. There's a villain and a hero.
Yeah.
But the villain was, like, stupid for a long time, and everyone was like, why is he dumb all of a sudden? And so somebody came up with the idea, and I think it was Brad Meltzer, who's a... He's actually an author of, like, novels and things.
Yeah.
And,
He's got commercials.
Yeah, and so he came in, and he was So he was like, I want to write this story that explains sort of why Dr. Light is silly and make things darker. And so he did. Dr. Light had raped Sue Dibney, who is the Elongated Man's wife. And somehow she ends up dead, and a couple of other people end up dead, and everyone's like, what is going on? Well, it turns out Dr. Light had had his mind wiped by Zatanna, and the Justice League was like, this was wrong, and certain people voted against it, some people voted for it, and Batman's just like, forget it, we'll just wipe your minds too, and you won't even remember that it happened. So Zatanna and Batman are the only people that remember, and then when people find out that this happened, nobody trusts Batman. With good reason, because now Batman has also created this satellite called Brother Eye to spy on the world. And that is a reimagined character, and we'll talk a little bit more about like how Jack Kirby's characters get reimagined all the time. But basically, Brother Eye is a Jack Kirby character that he had created for his book OMAC. OMAC got canceled, and he's like, fine, screw you. Everybody dies at the end of the book, and it's awesome. So anyway, that's how that goes. And so Brother Eye is now sent to spy on the whole world. And that leads us into Final Crisis. Nobody trusts Batman, and Batman doesn't trust anybody. Or not Final Crisis, sorry. Infinite Crisis. Infinite. So many crises.
You missed one.
Yeah, so in Infinite Crisis, Batman's Brother Eye has taken on a mind of its own because...
it's super smart.
Maxwell Lord, who at one point... Keith Giffen's Justice League International is kind of a comedy book, and Maxwell Lord is this guy that just funds them. He's basically like the concept of Batman Incorporated or Justice League Unlimited. Right. He's like, I will pay to make the Justice League an iconic thing that the world trusts and is a big
almost
commercial
like
event.
Yeah, right.
And so he does. Well, then come to
Coca-Cola on him.
Come to Infinite Crisis. And he kills
Booster. Some, like, snuggle, like, logo on there.
Comes to Infinite Crisis, and he kills Booster Gold and takes command of Brother Eye. Wonder Woman then kills Maxwell Lord. And you're like, what happened to all the heroes? They're all doing terrible, terrible things.
Yeah.
And Brother Eye is then out of control and starts turning people into OMACs, which is based on Jack Kirby's OMAC. These OMACs are like...
What is it? Does it stand for something?
One Man Army Corps.
Oh, okay.
That was cooler. That was
so they start taking over they start taking over everyone's minds and bodies, and basically they're like these like technology zombies. They're these robot esque things that when they touch you, they can turn you into them. And so,
like Mr. Smith in the third Matrix.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so there's a bunch of Mr. Smith robots running around, and.
Mr. Anderson.
And meanwhile, in Infinite Crisis, while the satellite is turning people into robot monsters, the people that survived the crisis, some of them went into a pocket universe, and now they've escaped, and they realize that all the heroes in this main universe suck as heroes. And they're like, how is it that our worlds were destroyed when we're clearly the better heroes.
Right.
And so Superboy Prime and Alexander Luthor and Superman from Earth 2 are all just like, this is crazy. And they start fighting the world's heroes. And it's just a mess. And the Flashes have to come and like try to stop Superboy Prime. Yeah, all the Flashes. Because you have...
Flesh
at this point, Wally West is the Flash because Barry Allen had died in the previous Crisis.
Sure.
Right.
But I think like at the end of Crisis,
he's like, I'm the Flash.
Yeah.
And then so the new Kid Flash and Wally West run into the Speed Force with Superboy Prime to like beat him up in the Speed Force. And Barry Allen, dead Barry Allen, joins them in the Speed Force. So all three Flashes then are running through the Speed Force and beat the crap out of this guy. Only one comes back, and he's dressed as the Flash, but it's Bart now. And Wally and Barry are stuck in the Speed Force. Mm. That didn't last long because it was very unpopular, and it was... The Flash series after that was poorly written by the guys who wrote the Flash TV series. So
well, there you go.
So...
Yeah.
That happens.
That explains
it all. So it's a little ugly, and then they bring Wally back, and then everything's fine, but now Wally doesn't exist, but we'll get to that.
So in Infinite
Crisis, the heroes come together, and they're like, you know, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and they say, we need to be heroes again. I'm tired of being these dark villains that people, like, can't trust us, and it's gotten so out of hand we can't even trust ourselves. We need to inspire people. And Batman... just sticks it to Superman when he says that, and he says, last time you inspired anyone was when you were dead. And Superman...
Boom!
And then he drops the mic.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
Chris Rock out.
Yeah. And so Superman has this really sad face. Wonder Woman has a really sad face because they realize it's true. And...
Did you ever see Puss in Boots?
No, go on.
And it's a stupid movie, but there's a joke...
Antonio Banderas has never made a stupid movie.
Anyway, go ahead.
I know, that's such a lie.
So right. There's a stupid joke in it, I can't remember, but like somebody in the background just goes, oh.
And that's what happens in Infinite Crisis.
That's how I was going to say this.
Basically, that's how I feel about that. Basically, that's how I feel about Twinkies. Like, you know,
I was gonna ask you, how did you get on
Crisis? The hostess Twinkies went away for a while, as all of you know. And people went nuts. They were like buying Twinkie boxes for $200 on eBay.
I know, like gas stations were getting robbed and stuff.
Yeah, and people weren't stealing money, they were stealing Twinkies.
Which is so stupid.
Got out of hand. And then suddenly,
just take the money. I don't want
the money. A bunch of Twinkies.
So they announced Twinkies are coming back, and I'm like, okay, that sounds exciting. I'll try a Twinkie. It had been a while since I had a Twinkie. And so I ate a Twinkie the other day. And when I got done, I was like, man, Twinkies, the last time you inspired anyone was when you were dead.
Right.
Because they're not good.
Now, did you have to get all the way through the Twinkie?
I got, like, halfway through the first one.
I was going to say, like, how many holes of the cream at the bottom did you get through?
I was starting on cream hole. I was starting on cream hole 3 of 6.
That's
if you count
what
both
she
Twinkies.
Said.
I was going to say, did you
and
cream hole?
I was not a fan of the Twinkies as much as I thought I should be.
I'm a ding dong, man.
I was like, oh, that's right. Twinkies aren't that good.
Right,
so anyway,
they're terrible.
Infinite Crisis, Twinkies. That's all you need to know.
Right.
No, anyway, but so then that ends. They all trust each other. They're friends again, and they've defeated these otherworldly versions of themselves, and some other heroes have destroyed Brother Eye. All's right with the world, and they take a year off.
That's
Superman,
good.
Batman, Wonder Woman are like, we need to reinvent who we are. And so they take a year off.
He's over here taking selfies, man.
I'm the social media guru.
Well, then,
oh, okay, fair enough.
In the end, we get to Final Crisis now, the end of the trilogy, and it's...
We talked about
it a lot in the previous podcast, and if you really want the needy greedy, then get down and go back. And then go back and read it and or watch the other podcast and you'll know a lot. But basically, Final Crisis is a lot of Jack Kirby's ideas from the fourth world, and Darkseid's in it, and Batman gets locked in time forever.
Forever, yeah.
But then surprised he gets out.
Because he's Batman.
But in the midst of all this is the return of Barry Allen in a really heroic way. He's running to stop a time bullet.
Right.
And again, he runs through the Speed Force with two other Flashes. He runs with Jay Garrick and Wally West. So you get this really good picture of the overall story where Barry Allen runs into the Speed Force at such a quick rate in Crisis on Infinite Earths that he destroys the Animonitor, but he also kills himself.
Right.
Then, in Infinite Crisis, he's able to somehow come into the Speed Force when they're running in there with Superboy Prime and help them with that. And then it ends with him coming out of the Speed Force with two other Flashes. So you get this really cool image of this whole time he's running through the Speed Force,
right.
And you just catch him at these certain moments.
When did Jay Garrick come into it?
He's the old Flash, the old man Flash.
Well, no, I know, but like, when did he come into the Speed Force? Anyway, whatever.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But I thought only one person can time travel in the Speed Force at a time, because two Flash-type characters take up too much time force. Or is that just one particular storyline where they're like, then that's why you can't go back yet? Good answer.
Thanks, man.
That is a good answer.
Eddie.
Yeah.
Because it's not a real good... like. That's a hard question.
But anyway, it's I really like the whole trilogy together because of the Flash stuff. I really, I'm a huge Flash fan, so that's really fun for me. And Swamp Thing's hand shows up in Crisis on Infinite Earths.
There we go again.
Just a little hand of Swamp Thing. Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. I'm collecting every appearance of Swamp Thing in single issues, and I had to go track down this Crisis on Infinite Earths issue where it's just Swamp Thing's hand.
Warner, we need to talk. We're actually all here. Because
just
we're
just Swamp Thing intervention. No! No! I don't want to
do it!
It's okay. It's fine! I can quit when I want!
Shut up! I don't need you!
But, anyway.
Poopy Eddie!
But that's... I need to stay away from the mic. My levels are getting...
Are we blowing it
off the charts? I'm over 9,000! So anyway,
it's a big Twinkie.
So anyway,
never mind. Just go ahead.
I love the Crisis series, and that's pretty much all. It's pretty much all the time we have for today. Do you have anything to finish off with?
No, I'm. I wanted to say thanks for sticking around with us. I know we've had a couple of technical difficulties over the past couple of weeks. I promise you, we've been recording every week. It's just...
You guys are just going to get a buttload
of bench dropped on you. That's not a bad thing.
There you go. But huge thank you to Fanboy Factor. Support them, like them on Facebook. Also, you know, if you're in the south side of Indianapolis area, Comic Book University is the best comic shop, I think, basically in the state of Indiana.
You can buy digitally from them, too, if you're not in Indiana.
And like we said earlier, I think Rob... he's not so terrible to look at either. So
check out both of those things. Fanboy Factor also has its own podcast that they have currently running, and then we're going to be added to their list of podcasts. It's just called The Fanboy Factor, so you can check that out.
We also may be having a YouTube channel that we may be doing some stuff on. So
yeah, we started a YouTube channel. Yeah. We haven't done anything yet, but there will be some videos of some things going on. And so,
what is this?
We're closing out. Here comes Mr. Chris Banna right at the end here. Give us some words of wisdom, just Chris Banna. Just chime in. We got this new microphone, so.
Come on, stop, nerds.
All right, so with that, that's all the time we have for tonight.
Follow the podcast.
On Twitter, Facebook.
Like us on Facebook. You can follow me. I'm at the Alec Ward.
I'm at. Warner Swopes, I think it is. I don't know what my at is.
I was going to say, why are you looking at me?
I don't know what my at is. I know my Twitter name is Saga of the Swopes thing, but my at, I'm not really sure.
I think it's just...
Just search it. It might be W Swopes or Warner Swopes or something.
Justin, do you have a Twitter?
No, I don't do Twitter. I'm sorry.
Chris, Anna? Twitter?
No.
I have too much to say. That's such a lie.
He can't keep it under 140 characters. That's nonsense. So, anyway, remember, guys, to... follow the Fanboy Factor, follow us at Nerd Management, follow Comic Book University, and don't forget that all these things can be found on the eBay completed auctions.
Bye, guys.